They were living in times whenever we look at Israel and Egypt, and many people are interested in Israel, and you'll read many scholars' thoughts about the Jews returning to Palestine, the Palestinian people returning without a homeland. We find that at the present time Sadat was over in Egypt, or over in came from Egypt over into Israel. I watched the landing the other night, and many people are pretty stirred up about it, because a lot of people are thinking about, well, this may be the end of the world. This may be the end of the Cold War, and we may have a peace cry. The Lord may come. Well, whether the Lord comes or not, or whether this is it, the main thing is that while you and I live, that we serve God now, today.
Amen.
And so, Paul asked a question over in the book of Romans concerning, has God cast away his people whom he foreknew? And then he said, God forbid. He said, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Well, if God cast away his people, then Paul wouldn't have had any opportunity to be saved or to be an apostle of Christ. And certainly Paul persecuted the way that he thought was wrong and error. You remember how Paul went with warrants down the road to Damascus, and he came with warrants, and suddenly there was a great light shining around him from heaven. He thought this hoax about Jesus being raised from the dead was certainly a great hoax, and that it was untrue. But when Jesus spoke to him, he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It changed Paul's life.
Amen.
And I want to tell you that Paul never was the same after that.
Amen. Amen.
This morning I heard Mr. Sadat, as he made his opening remarks, and he kept talking about the Almighty God. And he talked about the Almighty God. And up to, we've come to a time when many people feel like as long as a person names the name of God, it's all right. And he talked about the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims. They believe in one God. You may believe on the one God, but the Bible makes it plain, he that hath the Son hath the Father also. And if you don't, or don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the door. Before Muslims will enter the kingdom of God, or before Jews will enter the kingdom of God, they must come through Christ.
Amen. Yes.
When we get down to this thing and we look at it, you might say, well, you're just cutting about everybody in the world out. Why do you think Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way?
Amen.
But I don't want to get big-headed. I'm going to tell you that the Jewish people thought that they really were the ones that was going to inherit the kingdom of God, and they thought it was going to be somehow by a Messiah coming, and he's going to be full of glory and all kinds of power, and he's going to do great things to the nations. But they didn't understand the plan of God, and they figured, well, we are the children of Abraham, and these Pharisees that talk with Jesus felt this way, and even Peter felt this way. And the Samaritan woman, when Jesus met her in the fourth chapter of John, she questioned him, why are you talking with me? I'm a Samaritan. I'm way down under you Jews. And it was like perhaps a few years ago when the people in the South especially felt that colored people were somehow down below them, and that we were above them, we were a higher class of people. I'm going to tell you tonight that Peter himself once felt this way. And we're going to find that God had to teach him, and God had to reach out there and give Peter some information. And this was done after Christ had ascended. In the 10th chapter of Acts, we find that Peter one day went up on the house to pray. It was about the sixth hour. And as Peter went up to pray, we find that something had happened a few days before over here where a Gentile lived. Now, it was unlawful for a Jew to have company with anyone that was uncircumcised.
Amen.
Because the Jews were God's chosen people. The Jews were God's people Because he'd given them the oracles of God. He'd given them the promises of God. He'd made the covenants with these people. And they felt, well, we're better than other people. We're higher than other people. We can't associate with other people. All of these things were pictures of things to come.
Amen.
But a strange thing about it, Cornelius was a man who was a Gentile. And Cornelius, although he'd never been given the covenants or the promise, it's evident that Cornelius somehow had learned of a great hope that God had given to the Jew. And Cornelius was fasting, and he was praying to the God of heaven. How much he knew about Jesus Christ, it isn't given. But he was fasting, and he was praying, and while this man was praying to the Almighty God, the Creator of this heaven and earth, suddenly there appeared a man in bright clothing to him and told him to send over to Joppa, told him the very address of Peter, and told him where he would find him, and he would come and he'll tell you what you need to do to be saved.
Amen.
I want to tell you, this must have set Cornelius afar, because 4 days after that, when Peter arrived at Cornelius' home, Peter found the whole place packed and jammed with all of his neighbors and friends and his kin people. This must have had a tremendous impact upon Cornelius. Here, a man in bright clothing, evidently an angel of God, had appeared and said, now you send over to Joppa. And you may wonder, why in the world didn't the angel just tell Cornelius here? God has a way of witnessing. God has a way of proving himself. He sent 3 men over there to Joppa, and when they got there, they found the man Peter exactly where the man in bright clothing said he would be, and they found his name, and they found the right address, the right street, and they found the man who was full of the power of God. But you know, Peter, even after having walked with Christ and the Lord Jesus giving them the Great Commission, said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to the Jews only. Is that what he said? No, he said, preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, whenever Peter went up on the housetop to pray, we find that in the 9th verse of the 10th chapter, that the next day as they journeyed on the morrow and drew near unto the city, that Peter, the 3 men, Peter didn't know a thing about it, that he went up on the housetop to pray, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but they were making ready, and of course the 6th hour right at noon. And he fell into a trance. A trance means that he got into a spiritual atmosphere. He got into what we would consider a vision. He began to see things in the Spirit of the Lord. And by the power of God, God was showing him something. And a certain vessel was let down from heaven as if it was a great sheet knitted 4 corners. And upon this sheet was all kinds of animals. There was wild beasts. There was creeping things, and there was fowls, and unclean beasts, and things that Peter, in admonition through the law and through all the instruction and training he'd had across the years, that he was forbidden to eat. Now God knew he was hungry, and there came a voice to him and said, Peter, arise, slay, and eat. Now, he knew who it was, and that was talking to him, because he turned right around and he said, Lord, no. Lord, no. How often you and I say no to God's way. We need to realize tonight that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. He said, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So God took the sheep back up. Now here's a man on his housetop, it's noontime, he's very hungry, and he's seen a sheep, as though it were, come down from heaven, having all of these beasts on it, clean and unclean, all mixed. And he's told, arise, slay and eat. And he knows when he's speaking to him, he said, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And you know how Daniel was in the land of Babylon. He certainly wouldn't take and eat all of that stuff they brought to those captives. He asked that they be given something else. They didn't want to defile themselves by eating something that had been forbidden in the law. And so this is why Peter was talking this way to the Lord. And so the Lord lets it down a second time. And he said, Peter, arise, slay and eat. No, Lord. Don't you think that if Peter had really been understanding what the Lord wanted in his heart, how he wanted to preach the gospel, how he wanted him to go, that he would have said yes to the Lord? And after the third time, he still wouldn't. No matter how hungry he was going to live by the old Mosaical law. He wasn't going to give it up. No, Lord, he said the third time. Have you ever said no to God three times? And so then Peter came out of the trance, and he was there on the housetop at noonday. And as he was there, he began to meditate about what in the world is God trying to show me here? What in the world is the Lord trying to reveal to me? And about that time, somebody came and told Peter, said, there's three men down here, and they've come a long ways. They've come 2 days' journey. And they've come, and they're claiming that their master has had a vision from God, and that he's sent here, and they know your name, they know who you are, they've come to the right address, and they claim that an angel has appeared to their master, and they want you to go with them. I think the way we preach the truth today, somebody come and tell us that, we'd sort of be suspicious. But the Lord told Peter, he said, you go with them, nothing doubting. Now, if the Lord said go, well, you're all right. You remember when Ananias was told to go over there and touch Paul and pray for him when he was blinded from Damascus? Ananias didn't want to go. He said, Lord, why, he put people in prison. But if the Lord said go, you see old Ananias hit the road to do what God wants him to do.
Amen.
And when every person in this church does what God would have them to do, you're going to see revival in our midst, and you're going to see us reaching out and going before the nations. And although we seem to be accomplishing so much, I think we're kind of like Peter. I think we've kind of swelled up a little bit. I think sometimes we get to saying, well, look what we're doing. What I'm trying to get across at this particular time, at this very moment, is this, that what we are doing now, we can double it and triple it and multiply by 10. I'm going to tell you that we can do 100 times more than we do right now. And it may come to the point that God will want us to. Now, Peter went down and talked with these men and kept them overnight, and they started out the next day on their journey back. And when he got there, when Peter arrived at the home of Cornelius, he found that a great crowd was there waiting. Boy, Cornelius really understood the angel of God. And he wasn't going to share this blessing all alone. Too often we try to share the blessing of the Lord Jesus by ourselves.
Yes.
What we need to do is get filled with the Spirit of God and let it be like David said. He said, my cup runneth over. Then you can share the good blessing in your heart with everybody else.
Amen.
So Cornelius had invited his kin people. If I'm going to learn how to be saved, I want my kin people, I want my neighbors, I want my friends to know about it. So Peter comes with the three men. They come up. I don't know whether they're riding donkeys or how they're walking or what, but anyway, they come up, and Cornelius comes out to meet Peter. Don't you know, as he's there with all these people, they're there giving, and no doubt Cornelius is standing on the porch of his house looking down the highway, waiting to see this man come that's going to tell him how he and his house can be saved. And after a while, he sees his three servants coming, and he sees this man with him, and he's bringing about seven of the brethren of the congregation going with him. He's bringing seven of those Jews with him. And whenever Peter walks up in the yard, old Cornelius goes out and falls down flat and bows before Peter. You know, a lot of preachers just standing and would bask in that glory.
But a true servant of God will put you in your right place. Preachers are no better than anybody else. They're no higher than anybody else that loves the Lord. John wanted to fall down and worship an angel once, but he told him, see that you do it not. Peter told him, he said, get up. He said, I'm a man just like you. And he said, God has shown me that I should call no man common or unclean. He began to see through the picture a little bit of what God had showed him back on the roof. And he went in and he saw this big crowd here, this big congregation, and it scared Peter in a way. And he looked at it and he asked Cornelius, I want you to relate this story to me. Tell me just what happened here. Peter was sort of feeling his way. The Lord said, go with them, nothing doubting. Don't doubt what you hear out there. So Cornelius related how a man in bright clothing had appeared to him while he was fasting, and though he was a Gentile, and though he was uncircumcised. And all you male babies had to be circumcised when he's 8 days old. And they wouldn't have anything to do. And Peter said, you know how that it's unlawful for me, a Jew, to have company with anybody that's uncircumcised of any other nation, of any other people. We can't worship with other people. But he said that he'd learned something. He said that God has shown me something. God is changing the order of things. It was under the old Mosaic law. We're under a different dispensation. God, who was giving his son to die for a lost humanity and had his son rejected by his own, is now turning to the Gentiles. And there's going to be a new day. It's going to be a new dawn. And Peter said, I perceive that in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. God is no respecter of persons. Is God the God of the Jews only? No, Paul said. He's also the God of the Gentiles. The same God that created the Jews under in Palestine. The same God that created the Egyptians. The same God that created the Russians. The same God created all the Gentile people and all nations and all men. There's not one man on the earth or ever lived on the earth that wasn't created by our God. And so Peter said, I perceive that in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Now notice, if you fear God, have a reverence for God. And if you, having this reverence for God, not mortal fear, but a reverence for him, the kind that causes you to be obedient to your parents, the kind that causes you to have respect for your king or your president, only 100 million times greater for God. But you respect God so much you want to do exactly what God wants you to do. You want his will to be done in your life. And if you work righteousness, or if you work at righteousness, and I want to tell you here that if we work at our righteousness, and if I try to live so that I'll be good enough to be saved, and I try to say, well, now looky here, I deserve to be saved because I've lived so good. I want to tell you, the only goodness in man at all that's worth anything at all towards salvation is the righteousness of the Lord, which you receive by faith through the Spirit.
Amen.
Yes. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ, through him, we can have forgiveness of sins. It's a wonderful thing that it's his blood that washes away our sins. It isn't how good we've been. But why did he say word of righteousness? We want to let the righteousness of the Lord work in us so that men may see the good works that he's doing in us, and that we're permitting him to use us, and that we're going along with it, and that we desire to go along with it, so that we can glorify our Father in heaven because they see these good works. They become affected by them. Now, the Bible tells us something wonderful happens here. As Peter began to speak about Jesus, he told them about how Christ was crucified, how he died, and how that he performed great miracles, and how that God had raised him from the dead. He preached to these Gentiles Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived and did all kinds of great things by the power of God because God had anointed him with the Holy Spirit, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. and how that he'd been raised from the dead and was now under in glory as the mediator between God and men. And while Peter was preaching this Jesus is my Savior and your Savior to those Gentiles there gathered that day in that room and in that house, the whole house was full. As Peter began to speak to him about our wonderful Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit came and it filled the whole house. And these people had heard the wonderful words of Jesus and the wonderful words about salvation and redemption. I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit fell on them.
Amen.
Yes. Everyone was touched with it. And do you know what? Even Peter was astounded, and those seven brethren that went with him, they were astonished that because on the Gentiles, these uncircumcised Gentiles, what was God trying to show? Well, we go back and we say that circumcision came in the flesh by the command that God gave to Abraham, and Abraham was 100 years old when he was circumcised, or pretty close to it. And we find that whenever Isaac was born, that Abraham took him at 8 days. We find that Jesus was circumcised at 8 days of age. We find that this was the custom. But going back to the one to receive the law, where we read tonight, we read from the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy, where Moses told those people, you need to be circumcised in your heart. And the Jews with Peter, and Peter himself said he couldn't hardly understand it. God had given him the vision so he could understand. And he stood there, and his brethren, the Jews that had been circumcised, were astonished because it on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. They just couldn't hardly believe it. Why, these people are kind of like we used to fill out colored books. They're just not good enough. They're not good enough to have this great salvation. Why, Jesus died for us. We're the Jews. We're the people that's been circumcised in the flesh. We're the ones that Jesus died for. Surely he's not going to take these uncircumcised people and give them the Holy Spirit. And when these brethren were so astonished, you know what Peter said? He was willing to give up his ways that he might be led of God. Are we willing to do that? Now, I want to tell you, it was a hard thing for him to do. All of his life, he'd been accustomed to believing and thinking that only God worked with people who were circumcised. He only worked with the Jews. And here he's got a house full of people. They're all full of the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak with tongues or other languages, and they begin to praise God and speak of the great works of God, and the power of God was all over the whole place. And Peter boldly said to his brethren and them that was with him, he said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?
Amen.
I want to tell you something. Unless we're willing to give up old customs and old traditions and let the Lord lead us, we won't be led of the Lord.
Amen.
Now let's just suppose for an instant that Peter had said, well, now look, I don't know what's happening here, but I know that unless you're a Jew, and I know unless you're circumcised, he didn't say let's be circumcised. Let's circumcise all these men. He said God's poured out his gift upon these people. He'd give it to them just like he has us. Did you know that God knew this way back yonder when he preached the gospel to Abraham? The Bible says that God, foreseeing that through the scriptures, that he would justify the heathen by faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, showing to Abraham, was Abraham circumcised when he received the promise, or uncircumcised? He was uncircumcised when God made the promise to him.
Amen.
And so the circumcision of the heart is the thing that's important.
Amen.
And Moses spoke about it. And the man who brought the law to the people, Moses, the Bible's emphatic in John that the law came by Moses. And yet when you turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it tells us how Moses kept the Passover. He did it by faith, not by the law.
Amen.
No man will be justified by the deeds of the law, it is evident. And it's set forth in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, set forth in Romans, the entire book. It is set forth in Corinthians, the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, that no man will be justified by the deeds of the law. So So Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Their hearts were circumcised by the sword of the word of God.
Amen.
The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts out of the heart those things that ought not to be there. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you come to Him and you're baptized into Him for the remission of sins, I want to know if you're clean.
Amen.
Now we're going to get down to the wonderful part of it. I find that so many people don't realize what's happened to them in this transaction. I find that so many people come forward, they accept the Lord, they're baptized, and they don't go away with the joy that those Gentiles did yonder at Cornelius. They don't go away carrying the blood-stained banner of Christ and a joy in their soul and in their heart. They don't have the praise in their soul they ought to have. It reminds me of Brother Craig. He says every time, he says, you don't know how good I feel since I've been baptized. That's the way those Gentiles were.
Amen.
Do you know why you feel good? The Bible in the 12th chapter of Hebrews tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now the way to lay them aside, let the sword of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, cut out of your heart all desires of the flesh and walk in the Holy Spirit. When you do that, you're going to find that you're circumcised. Why was circumcision in the first place? It was to cut off the foreskin so there could be no filth held within. Nothing held inside that would cause disease or cause any irritation. And so it is with the heart in the spiritual sense. Men and women both are circumcised in the heart. And when you accept Christ, you should be willing to lay on the operating table of faith and let the Lord Jesus, by the sword of the Spirit, cut every desire out of your life that what God wants in your life.
Amen.
When you do that, you're going to find that you'll have a song in your heart. You're going to find that you're going to be joyful in the world, even in the midst of tribulation. Now, I want you to think with me a little bit. We as a people have come to believe this great truth that set us apart. These truths that have made us a distinctive people here in the world, though we be few in number. Let's go back to the message that the Lord gave to Peter. What God hath cleansed, call that not common nor unclean. Now, I want to ask you something tonight. And I'm going to ask you, as the humble servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, my blessed Lord and sister at the right hand of God, have you been cleansed by the Lord and by the salvation of the Almighty?
Amen.
Well, if you have, hallelujah, you're not common. And if you have, then you're clean. What God has cleansed, have you been cleansed by the Lord? I'm going to ask you, the night that Brother Craig or any other man or woman or boy or girl was baptized in the Lord, I want to ask you, we make the same application made to Paul when Ananias spoke to him. He said, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Now when Brother Paul was baptized, when Brother Craig was baptized, and they called upon the name of the Lord, I want to ask you, was they cleansed by God or was they cleansed by man? They may have been baptized by a man, but I want to tell you the faith of the whole action and the transaction was depended on the blood of Christ in Calvary. It depended on His resurrection. It depended on our faith in the promises of God.
Amen.
And I want to tell you of the transaction of faith, and I want to tell you that what God has cleansed is not common anymore. It has been risen, and that's why in Colossians 3:1 it said, if you be risen with Christ, we are people that have been raised above the desires of the flesh of this world. We no longer care about the things of this world. We care about the things of God, and we're concerned with the things of God. And that's why all the way through the Bible you have flesh versus the spirit, spirit versus the flesh. And the Bible tells you that they're against each other. They oppose each other. And I'm glad that Paul said, I am crucified. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And a lot of people can't get this through their mind. If the Lord Jesus has cleaned you up, if he's forgiven you your sins, if you've been cleansed by the great salvation of God, you're not a common person anymore.
Amen.
Don't call anything that's been cleansed by God common. Don't call it unclean. And oftentimes we hear people who've been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb talking about, well, I'm still living in sin. I just can't help myself. I just have to tell some dirty jokes. I just have to curse. I just have to lust after women. I just have to do things that I did before I was ever cleansed by the Lord. Then you haven't been circumcised in the heart where Moses said it was important. Now, let's get down to it. In Romans the 8th chapter, Paul's preaching, and what does he have to say? He said, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to go quote that to you again, and I want you, beloved, to listen to it. Because I know that in this time and in this period in the world in which we're living, all the lust of the flesh is being incited, trying to be making us inflamed, trying to take us away from the Lord and take our crown of glory away from us. Now I want you to listen. There is now, not later on, but right now.
Yes.
There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. People who are sinning and who are out here walking and living in sin are condemned people. But there's no condemnation to people that's been cleansed by the Lord.
Amen.
Tonight, if you are one of those people that's been cleansed by the Lord, then there shouldn't be any condemnation in your life. I'm asking you to look at me, and I'm going to give myself a little test. I'm going to say, Lord, what have I done today that's condemned me? And you're going to think, well, that's about the biggest fool I've ever met whenever I answer. I'm going to say, nothing, Lord. Nothing. I haven't done anything today that condemned me. If I was to go all week, a month, or a year, I might have to say there's something condemned me. Maybe it was some little something that come along. Maybe a misunderstanding. Maybe I felt condemnation about it. But if I did and I'm right with God, it won't last but a short time till I'll be on my knees getting things right with the Lord.
Amen.
But I'm going to say nothing today, Lord, because I got up this morning and I went and prayed. I got up this morning and I thought about the service today. And I felt for the young people, and I knew that there's some of them were going to be nervous, and I wanted to pray for those young people. And I rejoiced in the Lord, and like I told you, I left my dinner to go help somebody in distress. All day long I've been serving the Lord. And I believe that's the way God wants us to do it all the time. And you say, well, you're bragging on yourself. I'm not bragging on myself. I've been touched by the power of the salvation that took all the desires of the flesh away from me and left me clean and left me uncommon. I'm no longer common. I'm no longer unclean. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been filled with the Spirit. And I walk with the Lord. Not by my goodness, not by my righteousness, but by that righteousness that is by faith. He has sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise. He is keeping me by the power of God. And if I'm kept, I have to give to him the glory. Now, the only person who can take me away from him is me myself. I'm the one who has to walk away. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived about this. And then it lists a whole list of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God, such as thieves, murderers, whoremongers, adulterers, and all of this. And then he comes on down and he says, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. Some of these people were thieves, murderers, adulterers, whoremongers. They had committed all of these sins that Paul had mentioned here. Some of them were guilty, maybe two or three of them, maybe just one of them, but they were guilty. Such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here Paul makes it most emphatic that these people are forgiven of their sins. They've been cleansed by the living God. They have been adulterers. They've been fornicators. They have lived in sin. They've done things that was wrong. But the Lamb of God that sits at the right hand of God by the great transaction from Calvary right on to the throne of God has made it possible for them to be cleansed by the Lord. And what the Lord has cleansed, don't call it common or unclean. And such were some of you. But you are sanctified. Hallelujah. You are washed. Hallelujah. You're justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. Now I'm going to come down to the thing that's really important. No wonder Peter, in 1 Peter 2 and 9, made such a statement. He says to the people of God, both Jew and Gentile, and he's almost the same thing was said to the Jews back yonder in ancient times when they came out of Egypt. He said, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. My brethren, if I can just do this, and I'll never forget what A.O. Turnbow said to me one time at my house while we were talking. He said, Z.B., if we could just get the people that know the truth to understand who they are and what the Lord has done for them and with them, he said that we'd have it next.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can we get you to understand what the Lord has done with you and what he's done for you? Can we get you to understand what the, by being cleansed through the blood of the Lamb, by being baptized into him for the remission of sins, by crucifying the flesh, can we get you to realize what the Lord has done for you and who you are? Well, you're a chosen generation, chosen of God, a people who have brought the way of, who have come the way of salvation through the Lamb of God. You are people who have been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and all of our sins are forgiven if we're in Christ today. And I say glory to God. Hallelujah.
Tell
you that's something to think about.
Yes, yes.
You're a chosen generation. What God has cleansed, don't call it common or unclean. A royal priesthood, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. My brethren, tonight, you and I are a priesthood living in this present world. We say, well, we're going to be kings and priests with Christ and of God yonder in the coming kingdom. Yeah, but if you don't get in the priesthood now, you won't get there. A royal priesthood. Why, this transaction, if you are right with the Lord and you have the Spirit in you, has made a priest out of you. By the Spirit, you're a royal priesthood. We're not common people anymore. We don't go with the rest of the world. That's why the Bible speaks of Christians being strangers and pilgrims now. The lust of the flesh doesn't incite us and inflame us anymore. And you say, well, I guess that you must be dead sexually. I want to tell you something. I'd like to live in God's kingdom if I never hear the word sex again.
Amen.
God's kingdom and being with the Lord is much more important than anything in this life.
Amen.
You're a royal priesthood. I'm going to tell you tonight, dearly beloved, you that have come and been sanctified by the truth, washed in the blood of the Lamb, baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, and you are a Levite priest. You're a holy nation. This is the nation that's going to inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of people are trying to make you believe that all those Jews over yonder that don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're going to inherit the kingdom of God. And I started out to begin with, and I told you, Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that any man that doesn't accept Jesus Christ, the only way they'll ever get into the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. He is the door. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What kind of nation? A holy nation. Holiness is in your life. You may not believe me tonight, brethren, but I'm going to write on the Lord. It isn't anything that I've ever done or tried to do.
except falling at the feet of Jesus and asking him to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. But I feel the holiness of the Lord even in my clothes and in my shoes. I feel it all around me, and I feel it all in me, and I say glory to God.
Because you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, you're a peculiar people. Why are we peculiar? We've been brought from rags to riches. We've been brought from the dilemma of being lost and undone and out there in sin and defiled and unclean. We've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. And what the Lord has cleansed won't call common or unclean. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And we are the family in the family of God tonight. We've been begotten by the word of truth, not by our will. Of His own will begat He us by the word of truth. God's done something good to you. God's done something wonderful to you. He's brought you into His family. And He's going to cause that holy nation to be born in one day. They're going to be the ones who's going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I'm asking you tonight, don't you realize what the Lord's done for you? Can't you see what Jesus sitting yonder, Al-Sadat, and the Prime Minister of Israel, President Carter, the leaders of the Russians are all trying to figure out world peace. I'm going to tell you where the man is going to bring peace to you.
Amen.
It's the same man that brought peace in my heart.
Yeah.
He's the same man that hung on the cross of Calvary. He's the same man that slept in the tomb 3 days and nights, completely dead. And God, in great power, raised him from the dead and called him yonder beyond the starry sky. This same Jesus is going to come in like manner. He's the Prince of Peace. And with it is going to come peace to this world. But also, with His coming, it means that the family of God is going to be gathered together in one, in Jesus Christ. You and I are that royal priesthood. You and I are that holy nation. We are that peculiar people tonight. We're that chosen generation because we've accepted Christ, because we believe upon Him, because the great transaction of faith has come upon us and we've been cleansed. And so don't call yourself common or unclean. Don't think of yourself and put yourself on the level with the other people of this world. Get up here where the Lord wants you.
Amen.
You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but you put it on a candlestick. It's time for the true church of the living God to shine. Now I'm going to ask you a couple questions and I'm going to close. What do you think would happen if the Lord put us before microphones and put the whole world and broadcast it by satellite and we'd have to answer the question about the great truth that God has given us? Why do we just have to stand before microphones and have the privilege of standing and shining for Jesus and telling how that the Prince of Peace is really that man that's at the right hand of God who's coming again in power and great glory. When He arrives at Jerusalem, then the world is going to know something about peace.
Amen.
And when Jesus comes, you may have missed a blessing because you failed to walk down the aisle and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You may miss out among those that shall go into the marriage supper of the Lamb because you fail to break all ties and walk down and say, I want to go all the way with Jesus. Your heart is empty unless you've been baptized into Christ. I invite you to fill your heart with Jesus Christ and the love of God as we stand and sing a hymn. No greater time to come to the Lord and be baptized, for He is now at the right hand of God. Is there one who will break all ties from all earthly relations and come as an individual person to the Lord on your own, you and the Lord, as we stand and sing.